Joshua 24, verse 15 says, choose this day. Now, we've said this quote many times for different reasons and in different contexts, highlighting various aspects of it. But Joshua, before the Israelites, is making this statement as they're preparing to finish up their inhabitation of the promised land. And he says again, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, often we like the quote that, as for me and my house, some of you have that sign in your house of various sorts. And we like to highlight, choose the Lord. And all of those are good statements to highlight. But the thing that I want us to capture today is what is revealed to us by the statement that Joshua says, choose. For him to say choose implies that we have the ability to make a choice. Implies that we have the ability to make both the right choice and the wrong choice. A choice in which those people at that time have had a specific fork in the road that they had to choose from. I love Pittsburgh. And even though I love Pittsburgh, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, in which the road system is a grid. You either go north, south, east, or west. You don't go north, then west, then start going south, and then back to east, and then north again. And then before you know it, you don't know which direction you're going in. If there isn't ever a town that you need a compass, it's probably this town, other than just your GPS. And there are times where I come across a fork in the road, and it's not really a fork in the road. You've landed into a pot of spaghetti. Because you can go, do you go left, like sharp backwards left, or sharp left, or veer left, or do you go right this way, and GPS, I don't know if you ever noticed this in Pittsburgh, GPS sometimes says left, and then it says, but good luck on you, I'm not telling you which one of those lefts you're supposed to turn on, and then it's too late, by the time you get there, you're like, it finally figures out which way you're going, and it says, oh yeah, haha, it was actually option A you were supposed to go on. Do you ever feel like life's like that sometimes? Yeah, which way am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do with this? And you want to make the right choice. And there's different reasons why that is important to us to make the right choice. I am so glad that I decided to go to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Because had I chosen any other school, I wouldn't have met the most gorgeous woman on the face of the planet, which would have not altered my course to end up in the scenario in which we adopted the children that we adopted. They would have been somewhere else. Would have resulted in I wouldn't have been here, most likely. This church would have probably been somewhere else. And that all from the choice of what school to go to. You don't realize, but some of us have met our spouses by bumping into them at a certain location. And then before you know it, you met somebody. And sometimes your choice whether to go to the grocery store now or 3 hours from now might actually greatly impact the direction of your life. There are choices that we're making on a regular basis. And how do we choose the right ones? How do we know which direction to go? And some of both the choices as well as our reaction to what happens after choices are made are often impacted by our view of God's sovereignty versus man's free will. And if you don't know what that is, God's sovereignty is that God is in control of things. He is sovereignly ruling over humanity. Free will is that each one of us have the ability to make choices in life. And there in Joshua's day, they had the ability to choose to serve one God or the other gods. And that was going to greatly impact their lives and the life of a nation and as well as what happens throughout the world. Great impact based on that choice. And sometimes some of us will overemphasize, people tend to emphasize one end of that spectrum or the other. Whether I emphasize God's sovereignty, and there's a positive to emphasis on God's sovereignty, because we can get into a place where we just trust God despite where we are. You know, I know God's in control, so I'm okay with the lot that I have in life at the moment. I'm just trusting in Him, and that's a great outcome from understanding God's sovereignty. The negative effect of an emphasis on God's sovereignty, and usually it's an overemphasis on God's sovereignty, is we will at times play the blame game. Because God is in control, then God, you are the reason why I am in the circumstances that I am in. You are the reason why that person is behaving towards me the way that they are. You are the reason why my body is in the position that it is in. So when we overemphasize God's sovereignty, we put the blame towards him. Or we take personal responsibility off of ourselves. You know, well, you know, I know I said that. I know that was rude and not patient and not kind and all those things, but God must have had a will in this happening. And we kind of just, you know, I'm just going to let God do things. Or we use that as an excuse for our decision to do nothing. Some of us reach the fork in the road, and you know what we do? We pull over and park. We might not do that literally on the road, at least not all of us. Has anybody ever done that before? You got so lost and you were so indecisive, you just pulled over and said, I'm just going to wait a minute, okay? But some of us, or many of us, do that in life with our choices. I'm not going to do anything. You know, this is a difficult choice. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of riding on it, so I'm just going to wait and let someone else make the choice for me. Have you ever done that before? I'm just going to wait and let somebody else make the choice for me. That sometimes falls upon leaders at times. If you've ever been in a position of leadership, you will find that that is a common thing for people to do, is to say, I'm just going to step back and let that guy decide. Because then, you know, it won't be my fault what happens. And we choose to be inactive and not make choices. Did you know that when you choose not to do anything, you're still making a choice? You are. You think that you're not. So if you choose to not say anything to that loved one that you want to see come to know Christ, you made a choice. You didn't do anything, but you made a choice not to do anything. And there are outcomes to those kind of choices as well. But then there are people who focus on that we have free will and we have the ability to make choices, and we emphasize that. And the positive end of that is a person who tends to overemphasize or even just emphasize man's free will tends to have a high degree of personal responsibility. They know that I'm responsible for things that happen in my life, and so I need to make good choices, and those people tend to make good choices, or at least try to. Those people are often the ones who do the most for God's kingdom because they're action-oriented. I need to do something about this. I can't just sit back and let God. I need to do things. Yet the negative end of that is people who are too man's free will emphasis is just like the sovereignty people will point their finger at God, the man's free will thing will point the finger at you. And you, and this person, it's their fault. They made the choice. They're the reason why this is so difficult. Or the overly guilty conscience of, it's all my fault. You know, I'm stuck in this situation, and the reason why I'm here is because of my choices, and woe is me. I'm such a horrible person, and I just deserve the things that I'm suffering. And you end up in that position. You know what the challenge is? The challenge isn't to figure out which one's correct, God's sovereignty or free will. And did you know theologians have debated these things for centuries? You know what the challenge is? Both is true. God is sovereign. God does have a will and a purpose. God does make things happen and prevent other things to happen. And yet he also allows us to make a lot of choices that has a lot of impact in the world and in our lives. And so our question is, because we have to understand this, because it affects our emotions, it affects the way we process our experiences and the way we feel towards God and others, and it affects whether or not we act or not, and we wrestle with those things, and we need to be able to have a sense of navigation, to be able to know how to navigate through this life and know, when do I just back off? When do I keep going? And which fork in the road do I go? And if I'm stuck in a Pittsburgh scenario, did you know a lot of life's choices are like Pittsburgh's roads, where you can go a bunch of different directions, and whichever direction you go, you have no idea where the end of that road is going to lead. Isn't that life? So how do I figure this out? How do I make the right choice? Because did you know that a lot rides on it, both earthly circumstances, because a lot of us are in our financial situations because of some choices we've made, whether good or bad. And yet some of us are in our financial situations because God has a purpose for you to be in the place that you are. Some of us are in the relationship messes that we are in because of choices that we've made. And you know, it would be great at times in those scenarios to play the God sovereignty card and say, well, God just wanted people to be mad at me. You know, that's just what he wanted. When many times it's because of the choices that you made on what to say and what to do. So how do I figure this thing out? And did you know Jesus was walking this road of timing when he was on this earth? Did you know that? In fact, in John 2 and 7 and 8 and John chapter 16, there are mention of a few different things. In John chapter 2, there's the wedding of Cana, if you remember. And Jesus, in that moment, chose to turn water into wine. But before that, Jesus indicated an awareness of timing when his mom said to him, listen, they're out of wine. You've got to do something. You know what Jesus said? He said, it's not yet my time. It's not my time to be revealed yet. Now, perplexing as it is that he chose to still turn the water into wine, there were other times he chose not to act because of this knowing that this is not the time yet. And he had a sense of this timing. In John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, John the apostle, in writing this gospel, points out that there were opponents of Jesus and they wanted to arrest Jesus at various points. And John says, but they didn't arrest him even though they wanted to. Why? Because it wasn't yet his time. Jesus was going to be arrested. He was going to be opposed and crucified, but not yet. It's not the time yet. In John chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, to his apostles, he said, the hour is coming when you will all be scattered like sheep without a shepherd. The time is coming. Jesus had this sense of timing of when the Lord was planning to move. In fact, I love the statement of Jesus that he never did or said anything that his Father didn't show him to do or to say. Because Jesus had that posture of, I have to walk in step with what the Holy Spirit is showing me to do. And sometimes that means glorious miracles and healings and large crowds of people and a lot of things taking place and demons being cast out and just great things. And other times that means being spit on and beaten and brutally beaten to a pulp and crucified and dying. All pathways that the Father had ordained. So how do I know which is my path? What is it that I'm supposed to choose in this moment? Well, the last three remaining possessions we have of what we need to be able to do time management. And time management is more than just your pocketbook or your day timer or your schedule. Time management is knowing how to do with your life, the time that you have, the things that God intends for us to do. And last week we touched on the three possessions that are more assertive, and this week we have the three that are more passive, and between the two we're going to get some discernment and some answers to these. All right, you ready for this? This morning we are going to lock all the mysteries of life and answer all your questions. Those of you who missed, you didn't realize that you were going to get all your answers today. Aren't you glad you came? And I say that partially in tongue-in-cheek, and partially it is the case because the Scripture is going to give us answers. Don't you love the Word of God? It gives us so much wisdom and guidance on how to walk in this life. And yet, unfortunately, it isn't going to be all the answers in that every choice that you find yourself making or facing, so often there's not a verse that's going to say, this is what you do. There's not a manual. Anybody manual people, when you buy something, you love to read the manual so you know exactly what you're supposed to do with this thing that you purchased or are owning. And in life, there's times where it's, well, in this circumstance, this is the right choice, but if this is happening, then you choose the opposite. And don't you love when God puts us in those situations? I just would love if the answer is always, nope, do this every time, do this every time, do this every time, but that's not how life is. And if you live that way, you will be completely ineffective because there are different moments and different occasions for everything. So what is the first possession I need to have? It's adaptability. I need to be able to adapt, which is counter to last week, the possession of strategy. We talked about how we need to sit down and plan and think out and make a plan and strategize and then move according to the plan. And yet, how many of you know that so often things don't go according to the plan? You ever found that out? Those of you who are planners, I know you found that out because nothing ever goes completely according to plan. And that is so incredibly frustrating if you are a planner. But that's just life. Life doesn't go according to the plan. Why? Even though we saw a statement that says that it's good and it's diligent to have plans, Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Plan all you want. Strategize all you want. Figure out all the answers all you want. Work as hard as you want. Mount up an army as best as you can and get all the resources in place. If God doesn't want it to happen, it will not happen. At least if he's determined, it will not happen. Because we have to understand that God has different degrees of wills as far as the way he feels about things. There is a determined will that this will happen no matter what, and then he has a permissive will, where I would prefer this to happen, but I'm going to let you guys make a choice. That's the reason. That's the reality of free will choice. Otherwise, we would have to say that sin is God's choice. Is sin God's choice? No, sin is not God's choice. So the reality that sin is present means that there are things that happen that are outside of God's will. But if it's completely against what God is willing to allow to happen, there's nothing you can do to get against God's will. Do you remember the statements of the Pharisees when they were dealing with the apostles in the book of Acts, and one of them finally said, listen, let's just wait and watch this for a little while, because if this is God, we cannot stop this thing. If God has determined something's going to happen, you cannot get in the way of it. So no matter what difficulties, challenges, obstacles, failure, poor odds that you have, that actually doesn't tell you whether or not you go or don't. Isn't that challenging? You know, sometimes we think if the door is open, that means I'm supposed to walk through it. You know, if it's going easy, then this must mean it's God because everything's clicking. Anybody ever talk or feel like that? You know, everything's just clicking, so this must be God. I know that some of you talk like that because some of you have talked to me like that. Everything was just moving and clicking, and it's just happening. This, look at what God's doing, and everything's just going great. It must be God. God was all for this. Did you know the easy road's not always God? Jesus would have never saved you if the easy road was always God. Jesus walked down a road that was filled with misery and heartache and challenge and obstacles and the wall of death staring in front of him, and he walked right through it. Yet the difficult road isn't always God either. Sometimes the open door is God, and sometimes the closed door is God. And I have to be able to discern which is which. And part of that is by understanding the nature of God's will. It's also an understanding the nature of how God teaches us. When God came into the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve had sinned, what was the first form of statement that he made to Adam and Eve? He asked them a question. Where are you? And then when they responded, the next form of communication was, again, he asked a question. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? And then as you watch God throughout the Bible, often this is the way he approaches humanity. He asks us questions. When God came in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ and walked on this earth, you know what he did a lot of? Asking people questions. You know why? Because questions is what opens our eyes to be able to see what's actually happening and to begin to realize and discern what God's will is. And so a lot of the reasons why some of us aren't figuring out what the right choices are is because you're not asking enough questions. Some of us are just choosing and going and just hoping it works out. Anybody ever do that? You just close your eyes and just run right in and hopefully it works out for the best. And we already saw last week that the wise master builder doesn't go in that way, does he? And the wise master builder steps back and he says, how's this going to happen? How much is that going to cost? And he asks questions. So the question for me is, this fork in the road, or the decision to go or not, do I have a green light from the Holy Spirit, or is it a red light? And how do I know that? Well, Matthew 25, you can go there if you'd like. I'm going to refer to two parables there. The first is the parable of the lamp, or the oil, or the 10 virgins. You know, the 10 virgins who Jesus was talking about, there's, you know, someone is coming, and they all had oil lamps, and some of them had oil, and they were ready for it to take place, and the other five, they didn't have the oil, and so when it looked like he was coming, they had to do something. They tried to get some of the oil from the other five. They wouldn't give it because they knew they wouldn't have enough, and so they ran out to get the oil, and when they came back, guess what? Already happened. They missed it. And so sometimes what gives us a direction is the restraint on our time. So if you're deciding, should I get involved in this? Should I do this? Sit back and look at the reality. Do you actually have enough time to do that thing? And if you do not have enough time to do that thing, did you know the answer isn't that that's a red light for you? Did you know that? Many times we are a little too simple-minded. We see that we don't have enough time, so must mean God doesn't want me to do that. In fact, I've had some of you tell me, well, I don't think I have enough time, so I know that God doesn't want me to do that. And I walked away thinking, can't tell you this yet, but you're wrong. You just don't realize it yet. Most of you, when you talk to me, I'm right and you're wrong. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm joking. Because there's actually options when there's a limit of time. You know what the options are? You won't know unless you ask the questions. So the question I need to ask myself is, this limitation of time that tells me I can't do this thing, does that mean that the answer is don't do that? Or does that mean the answer is there's something else that's got to go out of my time so I have enough time for that? So I need to cut this out so that I can do that. Or I need to, like we said a couple weeks ago, I need to decrease the amount of time I spend on this so I can do that. If you're saying that you, especially if you don't have children in the home anymore, if you're saying that your family is the reason why you can't get involved in the body of Christ because you don't have enough time because you have to spend time with your family, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Something else is there that has to go. Either I have to, you know, either I'm just with them all the time and that's not necessary, or there's something else that's in there. And I guarantee that the things that you want to be doing, you have found a way to do it because you've eliminated something else. And I'm sad that in today's society, in which we're really busy and we're making choices constantly, often without thinking, one of the first things we get rid of out of our lives when we're busy is the body of Christ. Whether in the form of coming at all or in the form of whether or not we get involved as to the extent that we're supposed to get involved in, because I have so many other things that are happening in my life. So again, do I do this thing? Do I have enough time? No. Okay. Then does that mean no, or does that mean I need to change something else? And if the answer is no, actually all these other things are necessary. I can't decrease any of that. I have to be doing these things. So then the answer is I can't do that. Sometimes you have to say no to a really good thing. Did you know that? Sometimes you have to say, I can't do this really great thing that would be good for other people. Why? Because my life circumstances are telling me I would jeopardize more important things by getting involved in that thing. And if we ask questions and we look at those things, we might start to realize what God's direction is in that moment. The parable that follows that is the parable of the talents that we all know well, that, you know, one was given one talent, one two, and one five, and the one with two and the one with five doubled what they had, and the talent was more money. It was a measurement of money, not of skill, though we know the principle can apply to both skill as well as time and all of those different things. And sometimes we don't have resources to be able to do the things we want to do. And the lack of resources is telling me I can't do that thing. Or it could mean that I need to make a change in my finances. Whether I need to spend less money over here so that I can purchase that thing, or I need to increase my income, or sometimes it's a resource like talent or skill or education. I need to get more experience, more education so that I can do that thing, or it's that I can't do that thing. But I have to ask those questions. So you have a decision to make. You decided that you want to buy a house. Anybody ever been in a place that you found a house you really wanted to buy? I really want to buy that house, or I really want to buy that car. And your desire sometimes tells you that it must be God, because I really want that house or that car, and I know God would want me to have what I want to have because he says he'll give me the desires of my heart, and I want that thing, but I don't have enough money to buy it. And you know what some people do? Some people do this. Ah, that's okay. I'm going to buy it anyway and hope it works out. And then months, years later, that person's stressed out and they can't make ends meet and they don't know what's going on and they start reaching out to others for help. Why? Because they reached a fork in the road in which their financial circumstances said, don't turn down that way. And they said, but that way looks so good. I'm going down that way. And they didn't let their circumstances tell them that there's something that needs to happen. Now, again, you not having enough money now for that house or that car, for whatever it is you feel like you need to spend money on, does not mean you can't do it. It might just mean that you need to change things. Like I said, you need to wait till you find a different job or pick up a second job, or you need to, you know, cancel certain things that you're spending money on, and I need to make way for that. But if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. I know that this is a foreign concept to us Americans, especially in light of when we have a government that can just at any moment say, you want more money? Poof. There you go. Want more money? Poof. More money. Want more? Poof. We just print it off in the billions and just give it to anybody. And so Americans, we do the same thing. We want a bigger house? Let's just buy it. We want more cars? We just buy it. We want more internet and faster internet and all these different things? We just buy it. And then who do we sometimes blame when everything falls apart? God, why are you doing this to me? Why didn't you take care of my needs? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? And many times it's not because God. It's not because, well, God's sovereign and he's getting back at me for something, or he doesn't care about me. Many times it's because I made certain choices that put me in that situation. Does that mean that every choice or every bad circumstance I'm in is because I made poor choices? No. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have ended up at the cross. He made all the right choices and he ended up in a very difficult, horrible experience. But I have to ask the right questions. Fourth item I need to consider under this adaptability is the reality of shifting priorities. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. James 4, verse 13 and following, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. This is intriguing to me in light of some of our modern prophets today who think that they can tell you everything that's going to happen tomorrow. But you know, that's not really the gift of prophecy. Wasn't intended for you to foresee every single future event that's going to happen in your life. Otherwise, these statements wouldn't be correct. You don't know the future. You might sometimes know a speck of the future, but on most occasions, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. And because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we have to react accordingly. Now, this doesn't mean that before you do everything or before you say you're going to do some plan that you have to say, well, if the Lord wills, I'll be there tomorrow night for dinner with you. You know, if the Lord wills, I'll be at church. And you've heard people talk like that, right? If the Lord wills, I'll come over. If the Lord wills, I'll be at that meeting. If the Lord wills. This was not intended to give us a formula. You missed the point if you thought that the intention was for you to say a certain thing before you made a plan. Well, then what is the intention? The intention is for you, when you choose to act, to not count on that you have tomorrow. To not count on that you are going to have time to do it tomorrow. To not count on that the person is going to be available the next day. To not count on future things all the time. So what does that mean? That means that I have things that I have to juggle. You have a job. You have family. You have the body of Christ. You have your health. You have your house. You have the different things that you have to juggle. And you have to decide what's most important. And many of us will put God first, I hope, kingdom of God, for an entire day away from our family. Is it wrong to ever spend an entire day away from our family? You know, I'm going to go away on this trip, or I'm going to hang out with some friends, or I'm going to work all day, or I'm going to do something at the church all day, and I'm going to step away from my family. It's not wrong to take an entire day away, even though that's not the higher priority. Maybe these other things are. But what becomes problematic is if you keep thinking, well, you know, I'm going to do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. I'm going to keep forsaking these other higher responsibilities and keep doing this because I know that, you know, 3 months from now, they'll still be there, so I'll get back to it then. And how many times do we do that? I know that'll still be there in a few months from now. You don't know that's still going to be there a few months from now. You don't know if that opportunity will pass. And so the juggling is not that, because some people say live like today's your last day. If we all lived like today was our last day, we'd quit work. I mean, who's going to, today's your last day, why are you going to work? I'm not going to work if today's my last day. Why am I going to go to that doctor's appointment or get my hair cut if it was my last day? I'm not going to do that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, I might live another 10, 15, 30 years. Am I going to never get my hair cut? No, I need to get my hair cut. So I need to balance those things. And the question is, am I doing so much of this that I'm not making sure I'm giving the adequate time for this over here? Here's a good example for you. I would love to get a master's and a PhD in a couple of things. I had a professor in my college who had a degree and knowledge of about 16 or so different languages. That always like boggled my mind. And I love study and learning things, and I would love to have probably about 5 different PhDs. But if you've ever gotten a PhD or a master's, you know that it takes 2 things. More than 2 things, but especially 2 things. It takes time. It takes a lot of time studying, going to the classes, and it takes money. Takes a lot of money, depending on where you go. Also, I think that Pitt right now costs about $50,000 a year for 1 year of school. It takes a lot of time and money to do schooling. And certain of the degrees that I wanted to pursue would have had great value for me and for my life and for other people in my life. And I had to choose, should I pursue that degree or not? And for me, the problem was there was never really sufficient resources financially or time to do it. And when I say not sufficient enough, has anybody ever asked you for $20 and you said you didn't have it, but you do have $20 to your name? Laughter from guilt. That ends the message today. Please come forward and repent at these altars. But actually, at least some of us, aren't actually lying. There's something we mean by that. I do have $20 over there, but it's allocated to other things. And for me to spend $20 here means I won't be able to spend $20 over here. And it's the same way with our time. For me to say I'm going to spend X amount of time over here means I can't spend time over here. And so every one of us has 24 hours in a day. It's the same for all of us. But we all have different things that we're responsible spending our time in. So I can't spend that time over there if I'm going to spend it over here. So for me, I knew I actually did have the financial resources, whether I got a loan and paid off, whatever. I did have the financial resources to pursue continuing my education. And I did have the time to do that. But I knew that my family would be hurting in the process. I knew that I would end up getting that PhD and sacrificing my relationship with my children. I knew that I was able to afford to get that PhD, but I would jeopardize other more important financial things. Do you understand the picture there? So when we're facing choices, it's not just as simple as yes or no, and though a lot of us like to just make choices fast. Anybody make choices fast? You see the choice and you just decide, I'm just going to do this, okay? I rebuke you. No, just kidding, Molly. Molly loves how much I pick on her. Anybody indecisive and have a hard time making any decisions at all? Anybody? Okay. So you know, some of us, that's both of you. Molly has split personality here. You know, her kids need to figure out which day it is to ask the right question, right? So if I'm asking questions, before I act, I'm asking questions. I'm asking, is there an appropriate amount of time to do this? And if there is not, then that doesn't mean no. I just need to ask more questions. Is there an appropriate amount of resources to do this? If the answer is no, that doesn't mean no altogether. That means I need to ask other questions to figure out, is it okay for me to jump in this? This is the wise master builder. This is the way we make our choices. At least we should. But the questions need to be directed at who? God. I need to be asking God, do I? And sometimes, did you know that God is not like Siri or Alexa? Every time you ask Siri or Alexa, she says something. Even if it's kind of a half answer, have you ever asked Siri or Alexa or Google, and the answer is, here's this article I found on the internet, go read that for 3 hours. You know, the answer isn't yes or no or whatever. But God isn't like Alexa or Siri. You know what sometimes you hear when you say, God, what about this? You know what sometimes you hear? This. You don't hear nothing. Sometimes it's because your discernment skills aren't sharpened, and that's why you're not hearing. You're not close enough with him. But other times it's because God's saying, you're asking a good question, but it's not time for you to know the answer to that yet. Did you know God does that sometimes? Sometimes God says, not telling you yet. Sometimes God wants you to use other resources that he's already placed there for you to make the discernment choice. And he's saying, all right, listen, I gave you all the stuff. Figure it out. It's all there. Doesn't he say that with, remember the guy who died and went to hell? And he said, I want to go and tell my brothers so that they will know. And what was the answer? They don't need to know. They have the prophets. They have the scripture. They don't need somebody else. And so sometimes we're saying, God, give me the answer. God, give me the answer. And the answer is all around us. In the scripture, in our circumstances, there's different ways. And God says all of creation cries out that there is a God. And all the things that are surrounding us, they're showing us, duh, this is the right answer. But I still want a lightning bolt from heaven. Anybody ever stand for a while waiting for a lightning bolt from heaven? I'm not going to move until I get this light that falls on me like touched by an angel. And then I know, you know, I hear the chorus of angels in the background. Oh, and now I know I go forward. Sometimes you just have to use your good discernment. So first is adaptability, knowing how to adapt to ever-changing circumstances. Second is understanding the nature of seasons. So as we're going into seasons, first, as I'm trying to understand what to do, I need to be constantly talking to the Lord and asking him questions. Lord, what about this? What about this? Show me. And I need to maintain this intimacy. And in there, I'm going to have discernment. But I also need to keep in mind my time restrictions and what are my circumstances telling me in regards to time? What are my circumstances telling me in regard to resources? And sometimes the resources are people. You know, I don't have the right people connections for this to happen. You know, sometimes we get mad at other people because we want an opportunity. And the opportunity keeps going to other people. Have you ever been in a job in which you wanted a certain position or you wanted to move up in the company and it kept going to somebody else? And you might get mad and you want to point fingers and all of those things, but maybe it's God. Maybe God doesn't want you to be in that. And you are fighting and you're getting upset, but your circumstances are telling you you didn't have the right connections. You didn't have the right relationships. You didn't have the right experience. You didn't have, but so often we want to just say, no, I should be able to have whatever. Listen, sometimes you might feel with all your heart that God told you something and you might be wrong. I know that is earth-shattering to some of you, but sometimes you were 100% certain that you heard God right and you were wrong. And the only way you will know that if you follow 1 John 4:1 to test the spirits, to keep stepping back and asking questions. You know, I thought this was God, but circumstances are saying this, circumstances are saying that. And then I need to keep in mind shifting priorities. So what is this nature of seasons? Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know what that says? That says that there is a time in which you're doing all the right stuff, and all the stuff that you're doing is supposed to result in certain things, but it's not happening. And if you rely only on circumstances, circumstances can speak to us, but if you rely only on circumstances, and you're doing this thing, and it's never working out, circumstances are telling you, bail. Give up on it. But here's the problem. Sometimes God intends for you to walk and work a difficult, hard road for a season. And then at some point the results are going to come. And he says the results will come if you do not grow weary and give up. So some of you, you've given up on certain things. You might have, and this holds true, this reality holds true of eternal existence as well as earthly existence. Some of you, relationships have fallen apart and gone sour because you gave up on certain pursuits and actions with those people that would have resulted in eventually reaping the reward. Some of you, you gave up on trying to get out of the financial mess you're in. You just, and I feel that way sometimes when I've counseled some with their financial situations. I feel like they've just thrown in the towel and just said, well, I'm just going to always be in debt. I'm just going to always not have enough. I'm just going to always be in that poor situation, and that's just the way it's going to always be, so I'm just going to give up. And some of you, you gave up too soon. Because if it's something that God's calling me to do, eventually the thing that's supposed to happen will start to happen in its season. But if you don't understand seasons, if you don't understand that sometimes there's delay, then you'll give up too soon. And so questions that I want to ask myself when when I'm facing certain circumstances and what I'm choosing to do. Am I doing the wrong thing altogether? Everything's falling apart. Is it because I'm doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing the wrong way? You know, sometimes you're trying to witness to someone, lead someone to Christ, and they're just not responding. And we would love to just say, well, it's their hard heart, and that's the reason why they're not responding to this. And you're doing the right thing, you're witnessing, but maybe you're doing it the wrong way. And you won't know if you're not asking these questions. I'm telling you, oftentimes, if you're listening to God close enough, he's asking all these questions too. Am I doing the right thing the right way at the wrong time? You see how many different options? I'm telling you, life is like the roads in Pittsburgh. You know, this might be the right thing to do and the right way to do it, but I shouldn't be doing it right now. And that's perplexing sometimes for us because we think if it's the right thing and if it's the right way, I should always do it. No, not true. Am I doing the right thing the right way at the right time, but it's not time for harvest yet? So I'm doing it the right way, the right thing, the right time, and nothing's happening. Why? Because it's not the season yet. Keep doing it. Other thing we need to understand about seasons, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And I once said that was the Beatles who sang that song, and now I still can't remember, Molly, who sings that song? The Birds sings that song. Many of you know that song. They made a song from that passage, for everything there is a season. Sometimes we're in situations where it's not happening the way we want to because it's not the time for it yet. Sometimes you're in a particular season because it is the time for it, and that's why it's happening. It's the time. In fact, there's a time for both. As you read through that passage in verses 2 through 8, it'll list a bunch of different things. There's a time for this, and a time for this, and a time for this, and a time for this. And for the most part, there's a time for this positive thing, and there's a time for this negative thing. It goes back and forth between positives and negatives. And the reason why it's important to understand that is some of you are in a very difficult season in your life. And it's very easy for us to just say, my life's miserable, and I'm just going to always be like this. And that's not true. You know, we have seasons. Life changes. Did you know that? Many of us have testimonies that we've walked through dark seasons of our life and that changed in time. Sometimes because we took action, rightfully so. Others times because we just waited and God took care of it. But there was a season. And if you understand the nature of seasons, then when you're in the rough season, you're not going to be in despair. Because you know, at some point it's going to come to an end, even if the end is when you're ushered into your eternal reward. And wouldn't you rather have that than any other earthly reward anyway? In season, this will all be over at some point. And I'm not going to throw in the towel and get in despair in that case. Or sometimes we think that when things are going well, that this is just the way my life is going to be from here on out. I got everything situated and everything's going good, and so life's just going to be like this forever. Anybody ever found out that that's not true? Sometimes life is like that for decades, and then all of a sudden, one day, you thought it was going to be a normal day, and everything fell apart and changed. And if you don't understand the nature of seasons to take advantage of and delight in the times when it's going great, and I know that this is just the season for it, so that's awesome, I'm going to rejoice in this, I know it's not going to last forever, and you understand those things, I'm telling you, a world of wisdom you're going to have if you understand the nature of seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Your body might be doing certain things to you now. It's just a season. Your body or your emotions might feel great now. As much as it pains me to say this, it's just a season. Things change. And if I understand that, the roller coaster of life isn't going to leave me completely helpless and misery. If I understand that. And understanding this nature allows me to be able to prevent myself from being arrogant towards others or down on myself. You see, this is the God sovereignty free will issue, is we need to be careful with our choices because every one of our choices is going to make a big impact on a lot of things in life, and we're going to be held accountable to them. And when we stand before God, we're going to lack in our offering to him because we didn't take action to do the things that we needed to do. But on the other end, God often sets up parameters for us. And he says, yes, you can make choices, but inside this. Remember how I told you with my kids, we will make them think that they have a choice, and I can say this right now because they are not here because one of them was sick, and so none of you can tell them about this comet. I think some of them know the secret. Instead of telling them, do you want, how many cookies do you want? We say, do you want one cookie or two? And they think, I get to choose how many I want, when in reality, yeah, you got to choose in this window here. And did you know God does the same thing? God sets up a scenario for you, and you might think that, you know, it's my choices, and, you know, you got these get-quick-rich schemes and all the different things that are out there that'll tell you, you know, if you do this right, you do that right, you do this right, and do that. You even have it in the church, don't we? You know, if you believe this, and you pray this, and you do that, and you say these things, and you do all that, and you understand spiritual warfare, then this is going to be the outcome. It's going to all be great for you. Yeah, but they forgot to tell you that when it's really going to be great for you is after you die. And while, yes, you can possibly, you can certainly better yourself financially, physically, relationally, spiritually because of the choices you are making, there is still a parameter that God has set for you. And some of you, you are not ever going to be wealthy no matter what choices you make. You're not. Some of you, unfortunately, you're not ever going to really be completely physically whole. And it has nothing to do with your choices. It has everything to do with God's sovereignty. This is the place he wants you to be in. And if I understand this, then I can look at somebody else who's in a less fortunate position than me and not feel superior because I have better faith or because I took more action and made wiser choices. Sometimes that is the case. But there are many times that that poor person over there, when I say poor, I don't mean just financially. I mean whatever the circumstances, they're in that set of circumstances because that's the place God has for them. And you're in your set of circumstances not because you're so wise and so intelligent, so smart and so skilled and talented, but because God had a place for you. And if I understand that, one, I won't get arrogant towards others, and two, I won't be so down on myself. Sometimes those of us who understand the nature of choices and free will tend to blame ourselves for everything. And that's not the way that it is. It also allows me this reality that will help me not to work against God or give up on God's vision. Did you know sometimes you're working against God while you think you're working for him? You're trying to beat down a door that God doesn't want you to get through. And you think it's the enemy is in my way and the enemy's trying to prevent me from getting through when really it's God that's trying to hold you back. And we won't know that if we don't step back and ask the question. Because sometimes we just get in a fight and we just keep trying to go and we don't step back and go, okay, this isn't going so well. God, is it not going well because this is you? Or is this the enemy? What's going on? And ask the questions. Last possession, and we'll go over this quickly, is acceptance. Accepting God's will for your life is sometimes hard, especially when you wanted something else. Again, Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Psalm 31:14-15, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Are you aiming or hoping for something that is outside of God's will? It might not be a bad thing. It might not be a sinful thing. Maybe it's something that's outside of God's will. Maybe it isn't. But you don't know unless you start asking the questions. Again, the parable of the talents and the limitations that were there, God never expected the two-talent person to produce 10 for him. That's not where God had him. And God did not expect the five-person talent to only produce 6. He had a certain range for that individual. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 16 through 20 says this, moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there, was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there, was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. Sometimes God just wants to make sure we're put in our place. Remember Job? Job did nothing wrong, but he was in a place. Why? Because God wanted him in his place. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast. For all is vanity, all go to one place, all are but dust, and the dust all shall return. Solomon is so good at writing fairy tale stories for us. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come prepare to lead us? The answers that you're looking for are in asking the questions. You're in bad circumstances, and you're trying to figure out, do I fight or do I just accept where God has me? Question is, are you in Job's shoes or Joshua's shoes? See, for Job, he wasn't supposed to fight and get it to be fixed. For Job, he was supposed to just trust God in the midst of his misery. Yet for Joshua, the answer was to fight and conquer and defeat. So the question for you is, you're in misery, you're in hardship. What is God wanting of you? You don't know unless you ask. Sometimes we don't want to ask because we don't want to know the answer. If you've ever been there before, you don't want to ask because you don't know what the answer is. And you're blind and you're lost and you're losing out on his direction in your life if you're not willing to ask the questions. Are these things happening to me due to earthly causes, or is this something that God is orchestrating? Did you know sometimes in your life things are happening because somebody else around you made choices? It's not because God wanted to hurt you. It's not because God's getting back at you or God's working something out. And he always works things out in various ways. But sometimes it's God making the adjustments. You know, someone made a choice and, all right, that's what they're going to do. Then we'll work this way. Okay, I'm going to throw that wrench in there. Okay, we're going to work this way. But it wasn't that God sat back and said, you know what, I just really wanted someone to throw that wrench at that person's head. It's not what God was thinking. The person chose to do it. God does not willfully make sin take place. Sometimes it's just the choices that people make. So the question for you is, you're at a fork in the road. And if we could, I know you're starting to sing a song, but if we could do Open the Eyes of My Heart. Mm-hmm. You're at a fork in the road. Some of you, you've already made your choice, but there's still a chance to change your mind. Some of you, it's the choice that God wants you to make. But as we're going to sing to the Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to know, I want to hear your voice. This is the answer to ask the Lord. But you can't do it unless you're asking him, seeking his face, examining yourself to ask, okay, Lord, I'm feeling this, but is that me or is that you? And being honest with yourself that right now you feel so strongly about it but it's you. It's what you want. It's what you think is right. Or be aware of your mind and your opinions and the way you see things, because sometimes the way we see things is, remember Job? He thought he had it all figured out, right? And he had a lot of right things, a lot of wise things to say, a lot of things that were even biblical that he said, but he was dead wrong. And we won't know that unless we allow ourselves to be open to, okay, God, you know, I thought this way, but I'm listening. What a good place to be in to just sit and say, Lord, I'm listening. You can't get there if you're not studying Scripture, constantly reading Scripture, because you can't know the mind of God. You can't decipher whether this is you or God if you don't know his mind through his word. And some of it is just through acceptance. So the question is, we just spend a moment seeking him and saying, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. The question for you, the circumstances you're in, does he want you to stay put? And the answer isn't, well, it's a good place, so he wants me to stay put. Or it's a bad place, so he wants me to stay put. No, no, no. It's not that simple. Does he want me to stay put? Or does he want me to fight? Does he want me to crawl my way out of this? And you getting the right answer is going to mean everything to how you feel towards God, to how you feel towards others, and to you, whether or not you're following the Spirit or not. Don't you want to follow that? I want to know. So let's seek him this morning. Lead us, if you will. If you're here this morning, if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I have some choices I need to make. And I need the Lord's help in making the right choices. And I would like someone to pray with me. Would you just lift up both hands unto him and say, that's me. Anybody here? I have some choices I need to make. Good. Anybody else? Come on. Lift. You can only do one hand. That's fine. And I'd like to encourage, if you're near someone who has their hands lifted, would you just come over next to them and place your hand on their shoulder? And we want to pray that God will show his will to them. Come on, let's get to some of these people with their hands lifted. Jackie's back there. Someone could lay their hand on her. Lord Jesus, we're coming to you because we want your will to be done. And we're coming to you saying that we know that we're finite, we're limited, we don't have all the answers. But that's why we're asking you for the answer, for the guidance. And so, Lord, for these that have their hands lifted, these who are saying they need guidance in the choice that is before them, I ask, Lord, that you would reveal it to them so clearly, that you would help them to hear your voice so keenly, Lord, that you would open their eyes to see the things that are around them, and may everything, their circumstances, just start to speak to them and say that this is the course that I want you to go on. Help them to hear. Help them to see. And help all of us to have that, Lord. Because we want so much, not just to be alleviated from various burdens in this life, but we want to please you. We want to be able to stand before you one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want that, Lord. So help us to walk that way, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Be listening constantly. Everything you're doing, be listening and asking, Lord, what are you doing? What are you showing me? What's happening? Use your insight from Scripture. Don't just do that alone. Use your study of Scripture. Be involved in Christian counsel and fellowship, and use what you have there and listen and pay attention. And I'm telling you what, if you make more of your decisions this way, wait, Lord, what are you showing me? All right, I'm going to go in. You're going to do a lot more of God's will by doing that. Listen and ask. Amen.